This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with Take Your Son, On the Mountain of the Lord, Promise Renewed, Death of Sarah, and Burial of Sarah. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father, our Father, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 4th chapter. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Advent hymn, "Hark the Glad Sound," provides a good summary of today's text. Specifically, stanza 2, although all the stanzas are quite good. Stanza 2 puts it this way. He comes the prisoners to release in Satan's bondage held. The gates of brass before him burst, the iron fetters fell. In John's first epistle, we are told the summary of Jesus' ministry is this. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Just prior to the events in today's text, we are told that Jesus was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And that is exactly what today's text does. It begins freeing the people from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil. Remember, it was through the works of the devil that all of these came into being. Think about it for a moment. Have you ever been sick? Of course you have. Sickness is nothing else than a symptom of the sin that has so corrupted our world and ourselves. It was the devil who was the author of such things. It is the work of the devil that has afflicted every one of us. We are born with our very wills bent towards sin. But it's not just us. Sin has corrupted everything in God's creation, and only God can set it right again. Therefore, today we have a very fitting text for the Advent season, Luke chapter 4. The context for today's text is interesting. Jesus had just driven out a demon of a man in a synagogue. Both Mark and Luke focus on these events as the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. As a result, the people, they declare that they are amazed with his power and authority. The demons in the synagogue know who Jesus is, and their only response is to beg. That's the extent of their power. They beg. Jesus was unlike anything that the people had ever seen before. And so following the defeat of the devils in that synagogue, Jesus is called to the home of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick. The family were worried about her. I think we sometimes lose the significance of this. We live in a time of modern medicine, of antibiotics and such, but in the ancient world, if you were sick, it's very probable that you would die. We're told this: Jesus stood over her and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. In each case, Jesus only needs to speak. There is no battle. There is no strong exchange. Jesus just speaks. And at his words, the devils, as we see, flee. The fever, it disappears. And so through the next few days, the same process is repeated many, many times. Just in that small area of Capernaum, the number of sick and the demon afflicted seems to be overwhelming. We're told this: now when the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. The demons also came out, many crying, "You are the Son of God." The demons, they understood who Jesus was really before anyone else, and they were terrified. They were terrified of his advent. Jesus rebuked them, we're told, and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. The devils, they were not to be listened to. Nothing helpful comes from the pushers of sin and death. It was time for Jesus to speak, and they must remain quiet, silent in his presence. While it was a bad day for the demons, it was a special day in the lives of many people in that town. It was a day that most of them would never forget. Nevertheless, there were thousands of others who were afflicted with sickness, struggle, demons. There wasn't enough time in the day to heal them all. In fact, it would take thousands of years to free the people one instant at a time. Moreover, even after their healings, most, if not all, of their problems would return. The fundamental cause of their sin and sickness had not yet been removed. Sin, death, and the devil had not yet been destroyed. No, the people only received a short reprieve. Those who worshiped false gods would mostly return to their false gods once again as soon as they were in need. They'd crawl back to their sins and they would embrace them. We always do. It happens to us all the time. Those who were sick, they'd get sick again. All of them would eventually die. And Jesus understood all of this. But the people did not. Therefore, when it was day, we are told, Jesus departed and went to a desolate place. Yet the people would not let him rest. It's true. They had found their cure for their deepest spiritual and physical problems, and they wanted more. You can't blame them. And the people, we are told, sought him and came to him. And they would have kept him from leaving them. Of course they did. They did not want Jesus to leave their presence. Why would they? Why would any of us? We know that Jesus had compassion on these people. He'd shown it over and over again, but short-term setbacks to the devil's plans weren't enough. Jesus' mission was to destroy the works of the devil, all of them. Jesus healed many, but that was not his focus. He was there to destroy the works of the devil and to undo the corrupting forces of sin. Jesus said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose, to preach the good news, to preach forgiveness, life, resurrection, salvation." We are then told he left them to go out and to preach in the synagogues of Judea. There was much to be done. Jesus' ministry had really just begun. He would continue to preach, he would continue to heal, and he'd continue to drive out demons. Yet in each situation, the problems still remained. The devil still imposed himself as the ruler of the world, that is, until the crucifixion. The only way that that would change would require a great sacrifice: Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection for our salvation and peace. In his death, in his resurrection, Jesus accomplished everything finally that was necessary. While the works of the devil, they would continue to oppress, the devil no longer had the power that he once possessed. You see, he's a defeated foe, but a foe nonetheless. His time is short. His tools are fear and lies. But that's about all he has. That's about it. We hear this in the words of another excellent hymn: "As true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell's satanic crew against us shall prevail. Their might, a joke, a mere facade. God is with us and we with God. Our victory cannot fail, cannot fail. So come, Lord Jesus, prepare our hearts as we see the promise of God in your birth. Look forward to your glorious return. Sin, death, and devil have no hold over us. This ongoing reality of the life of the baptized. The final day when sin, death, and the devil are removed, and we enter our glorious rest. Yet as we wait for that day of days, he's not left us alone. In baptism, we have been freed from the power of eternal death. In the preaching of the word, we are warned against our actions of sin, and we hear that promise of salvation and life. Of course, in the supper, we receive the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. There's really nothing for us in this creation to fear at all when we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Yes, it's true, sickness and death and the devil, they still trouble us, but they have no power over us. God is with us, and we with God. Our victory cannot fail. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers, and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, whose ways are excellent and worthy of all praise, help us always to dwell on your deeds of love, that, walking with you and following you in all simplicity, we may possess quiet and contented minds and cast all our care on you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all I can do is in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.